very much. And I want to welcome you here today. This is a very fun day for me. I'm now 48 hours into being a resident of Brooklyn, New York. I have just moved from the West Coast, an incredible place called Sausalito, to a very beautiful place here called Manhattan Beach in Brooklyn, and I'm adjusting to winter. I have not had to experience winter in many years, true winter, and it's here. But it's delightful that to see so many people joining, and it's awesome, and I can't wait to share all of this with you. So I'm going to share my screen now, because there's a lot to share in terms of information and ideas of how this course that I have been developing over the last year is going to unfold. So let me go ahead and share my screen, and we will get started with the presentation about your finding your creative brilliance. So just one comment, if I could, before we get started, I see it's jumped ahead a little bit too much, is that you have a chat box in the presentation, in the Zoom meeting room. And there'll be a couple of times during this presentation where I'm going to ask you to give a comment through the chat box. And it'll simply be to type in a response to a question or a point that I'm making. Two or three times we'll do that during the session. So see if you can, on your controls, locate where it says chat. And I will send a note to everybody right now, which will highlight that there is a chat. And then you'll know that's where you would put in your answer. And you can answer privately just to me if you like, or you can answer to everyone at the point when I ask for a question or some input. And if you choose not to answer, that's of course fine as well. If you would prefer to remain anonymous, that's completely fine. So again, thank you all for being here. What fun. Happy to welcome to 2018. And so delighted that you're joining us. I see a question already about recording this. This is actually being recorded now. One of my team, Peter Davey, is on this call and is recording it. We will make the replay recording available within the next 24 hours or so. And so we will, yes, record it. That's the easiest way. We'll make both an audio and a video version available depending upon which you would prefer. And of course, that's to be shared with anyone that you would like to share it with as well. So again, thanks everybody. What fun. And so this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart, creativity. I love this topic, and I can't get enough of it. And every chance I can, I'm trying to express creativity in whatever way, whatever form that may need. And just one more request, to please mute your audio. So there's somebody, I'm hearing some background noise. If you could click on that little microphone icon in the lower left of your screen, that'll put a red line through it, and then you'll be muted, and that'll be great. So my first question, really, because so many of the names in the room today are not familiar to me, I don't know the background, are these two questions. What drew you here today? What was it about the announcement that you saw through email, through LinkedIn, through Facebook, through Twitter, wherever it was? What is it that drew you here today? And secondly, what's your creative desire? So what I'd love to do is, again, just have you put anything you want into the chat, and you can answer both questions or just one, and it'll allow me to kind of be able to guide this presentation to the needs of the people that are on here. So I see a great answer, live each day creatively. Yes, bravo to that. Lindsay says, sounded interesting, and I'm not sure. Good. I'm glad I've at least piqued your curiosity. Somebody else, your invite seems so sincere. I am a creative, so just curious. Great. Well, I've tried to be sincere, and to me, that's a lot of what creativity is about, is expressing the fullness of who you really are, the sincere, crude, ugly, whatever part of you, but that who you really are, the authentic you. Luis is saying to be more creative every day. Yeah, who doesn't want that? To have that kind of creative energy on fire and in touch, you know, at every moment. Your story of moving into an exploration of creativity, beautiful. Bringing the creative process to change in this initiative so they are more humane and more joyful. Beautiful, beautifully said. That's near and dear to my heart, having spent many years in the corporate world and having worked in many corporate teams, from leadership teams of Fortune 50 companies to small startups to just about any, to government agencies, how to bring creativity into the need that every organization has to be change agents. That's not easy. So this is terrific. Sarah Jane says, expand my creativity. Yeah. And someone's saying there's a lot of appreciation of me. Hey, cool. Lovely. Thank you, Lori. So, and keep adding these responses. And I wanted to make this, even though this is by definition pretty much a presentation, and yet doing it on video means we get to see each other and we get to interact and not just have it be one way. So I'll do this a few more times today to just get your input, and then we'll open up for Q&A at the end as well. So a little bit about what I want to do in this next hour or so is, first of all, kind of give you a view, my view of creativity through the journey of my life in a very short Cliff's Notes version of my life. And part of what's unfolded, especially in the last 7 or 8 years, for me, has been what I'm now calling a 5-catalyst model. I didn't set out to create a model of creativity, not at all. I just knew, after I went through some pretty challenging situations, that I needed to be creative again, and that I hadn't been, and it was killing me, almost literally. And so what evolved in that process was 5 things that became really important to me in my own journey of reawakening the creative spirit, the creative spark in myself. So I want to go through that, because that's a flavor of what this masterclass that I'm offering after this webinar today will include, these 5 catalysts. I want to share these in some detail with you today. And then go into the objectives, the format of this masterclass that I'm going to start Saturday, January 27th. It'll be 4 sessions over about a month's period of time. And kind of give you a feel and flavor of what that's going to be like. And then there's a kind of very thing, a piece at the very end. Some people would prefer not to be in a class, would prefer more one-to-one work. I offer that as well. I'll spend 2 minutes maybe discussing that a little bit, what a one-on-one version of this class could look like. And lastly, just take your questions and talk about whatever next steps might be appropriate for everybody. So that's the plan, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So let me jump ahead to the next slide. And so creativity, I think about this so much. And my fundamental premise in thinking about creativity is that whether or not we are creative as people has nothing to do with artistic expression or artistic skill. It is not only the painter, the poet, the dancer, the writer, the musician who is the creative one. It is the person who navigates through very challenging relationship issues that is highly creative. It is the person who figures out solutions to really difficult customer issues that is creative. So creativity is not defined by the output, but by the energy itself of creation and taking something and creating something new out of it. And my belief, and I don't think it's just a belief, I think it's fact, but I'll at least call it a belief to be humble, is that since every single human being possesses the ability to create life, therefore we are all at our core, in our DNA, creative. And that upper right-hand corner, that's a picture of my daughter a long time ago. So an example of the ability of us to create life. So whether or not we ever create another life isn't the point, it's that creative power is within us. And secondly, like this next image of, you know, the hands full of paint, and I love the idea of, remember when it was like to be 4 and 5 years old and finger painting and just getting all gooey. And creativity is not necessarily about becoming an artist or a dancer or a poet or a writer. It's more about finding your, what I call, creative brilliance. And again, that may not play out as an artistic expression, but I suspect many of you are here because you'd like to be a writer and haven't had a chance to really do it, or you wanted to paint and you never really did it, or you wanted to sculpt and you never really did it, or you used to do it 15, 20 years ago, but you lost track of it, so you want to get it back. And you know that when you're being more creative, there's just something more zestful about life, more hopeful about life, more optimistic about life, more power kind of in our life that's available to us. And so that's a lot of what I believe is essential to understand about creativity, that every one of us possesses the power of creativity. We are innately creative, not just the poets, the artists, the creatives, as we sometimes call ourselves, those of us who consider ourselves highly creative. So, and lastly, in an interest of mine, because of my background in the health field for many, many years now, is that it's well understood that when we are able to create, express ourselves creatively, again, whether or not that's an artistic expression or simply being very sensitive in a communication dynamic, the creative expression of ourself fuels every physiological system in our body, especially in our brain. So those are some of the fundamental principles that I've come to observe and experience and believe about creativity that I wanted to share with you, and what will be sort of in the context of the whole experience of this masterclass. So yeah, that's me a long time ago when I had a lot more hair. I was blonde. And I found that picture not too long ago, and I thought, wow, this is, you know, it's a little boy playing with horses and cowboys and Indians and, you know, typical stuff that kids of my generation would do. But in our own little way, that was creative, right? Because you were making a story about what those, each of the people were doing. And, you know, so it was natural as a kid to be creative. I think for all of us it was. And for a lot of us, the creative energy kind of got beaten out of us. You know, maybe we sang one time and somebody said, wow, you don't need to be singing. Life would be better if you were not singing. Or maybe we tried art and somebody, you know, a teacher or a brother or a parent said, you know what, stick to accounting. That's going to be your bread and butter. Just stick to accounting. Later on, if you want to paint when you're retired, you know, that kind of thing. And whether or not we got our creative juice cut, you know, shot down per se, in many organizations that we've worked, may have worked in, you know, we may have an idea that for another department, and then we're sort of put in our place. You know what, Jim, why don't you stick to sales? You're best to let the marketing people do the creative stuff. You know, so all around us, for many of us, it's been shutting down the creative energy. So we haven't had the license to develop it and feel okay with it. So that's a little bit about, I think, the context for many people. But I think of my life, on the other hand, my father, who had a very traditional job as a life insurance executive, commuted to Manhattan from New Jersey, where I grew up, every day for 30 plus years. His creative streak was as a singer, amazing singer, beautiful voice, and as a gardener. He had amazing gardens, and he loved that stuff, and his creative outlets were in those areas. My mother was an artist, could work in any artistic field you can conceive of, from clothing to sculpture to oil painting to collage to you name it. She was incredibly creative. So I was raised by two parents who fully supported my creative journey. And I wasn't even thinking of myself as creator when I was a kid. I was playing like a normal boy, just doing whatever, not thinking I was creative at all, and never believed I was until I was in my 20s. And somebody said to me, you know what, you're very creative. And I said, no, my mother's the creative one. She's an artist. I've got two brothers who are artists. I'm not creative. I can sing, you know, I can do stuff, but I'm not creative. And they said, no, you're very creative. You just don't know it yet. I thought, So that's my challenge to people here too, that perhaps we don't believe we're creative, but hoping maybe we will be. And I'm the one saying, we all are. We haven't necessarily tapped into the full creative power of it yet. We've lost some of that childlike spontaneity. They could just be creative with some dolls or with some horses and log cabins or whatever it may be. So that's a little bit about the creative journey, that how it began for me. And when my kind of reemergence into the world of creativity started was really when I got pretty sick. But before I talk to you about that, upbringing highly supportive of my creative energy was musically involved. So I started being a trumpet player and got very interested in music. In my senior year in high school, realized that I really wanted to sing, and that was motivated by a wonderful vocal music teacher in our high school in New Jersey, who brought in amazing shows to our school. And instead of playing in the orchestra all the time, I thought, looks fun up on stage. Maybe I could sing too. And so I was invited to join the chorus, and then I was invited to play the lead role in the musical at the high school that year. And so I don't know how that would have, my life would have unfolded had it not been for that teacher who saw something in me and said, you're going to play the lead role in the musical this year. And I said, really? Okay, I guess we'll do this. And so that's how it began for me. And within 2 years, I was playing the lead role in the longest running musical in the world, a show here in New York called The Fantastics. And my creative energy started to take off. And in that process, I had learned to dance and was becoming a dancer more and more, and becoming a better and better singer and an actor, and learning mime and carnival technique, and discovering I did have another creative side artistically, even doing little paintings and kind of things for tourists here in the city, and discovered, wow, this is this whole world of creativity that I really wasn't that tuned into, even though my parents were very supportive if I wanted to. And then I got into, after the acting thing, after about 5 years, decided it was time for a new challenge and decided to move to California and get more into kind of my own personal growth and spirituality and health and well-being. And that became kind of a creative exploration for me. Like, well, what can I learn about health? And what can I learn about the best diets to have and fasting and green foods and all this kind of thing? And I got very involved in a number of businesses around the idea of health and well-being. One of which many of you have heard of called HeartMath, and I was one of the originators of HeartMath there at the beginning with the founder, a man named Doc Childrey, and was very involved in the creation of this marvelous system of tools for stress relief and health enhancement and fulfillment in life, really. And life was great in many ways, and I had a leadership role in the organization. By the late 90s, I was named CEO of HeartMath, and very actively traveling all over the world, teaching and sharing tools around stress reduction and building resilience and enhancing kind of the fullness of who we are. And little by little, I was not feeling great health-wise, discovered through some tests that I actually had cancer. And fortunately, it was a treatable cancer that required surgery, but not terrible. And I'm 8 years cancer-free, so it all went well, needless to say. But the journey didn't stop just with the surgery, because as I was put into some treatments afterwards, I started getting staph infections, and eventually the staph migrated to my blood, which those of you who are healthcare oriented probably know that's a really bad thing, and it's considered life-threatening. So obviously that's subsided as well 7 years ago, so no issues there either. And meanwhile, my hips, which had gotten worse and worse from arthritis, from running on roads too much and for years and dancing and whatnot, they got worse and finally had to have both hips replaced. But right before that, my mother, who had been dealing with a long decline with Alzheimer's, passed away. So a lot of things were going on. but also what was going on in me little by little was this recognition that I had gotten so out of touch with that creative part of me. I'd become a very good executive. I'd become a very good teacher and speaker and the things that I also loved, but there was something missing in terms of the creative juice to really create again, whether that be music or writing or art or whatever it may be. And it took these series of kind of significant wake-up calls before I kind of realized, wow, I've so lost touch of my own creative energy. And there's no one to blame. Life had unfolded in that way. I'd done a lot of other things that were very satisfying, and yet there was a major kind of hole for me. So as I began to heal, and as I began to explore first singing again, back in late 2011, surgeries were over, hospitalizations were over, I was really starting to feel better and getting my strength back after having both hips replaced, I realized I needed to sing. And it was just like, something told me, some deep spirit inside of me said, you have something still to be expressed through your singing voice. And I thought, okay, I'll try this. I'll reach out to this buddy of mine named Gary, who's an old, longtime friend from college days and now a creative partner as well. And we began a project eventually called What Makes Your Heart Sing. And it sprang completely out of my own experience of realizing how far off from creative output and creative energy I'd gotten and needing to do things that made my heart sing again. And so a way for me to do that was to express that through speeches that were musical. And we called it a keynote performance. And so as this process was unfolding, I was kind of step by step, little baby steps at first, starting to sing again, and then eventually realizing I actually, now that I had two titanium hips, I could actually dance again, which shocked me. Wow, you can dance with titanium hips. I thought I'd be like the Tin Man, sort of walking around really stiff or something. Not true. Not at all. Once you got titanium hips, you're good to go. So I discovered, sure enough, I can dance. Meanwhile, when I was in a lot of treatments and flat on my back for days or weeks at a time, I was picking up photography here and there thanks to these little things called smartphones. And that had become kind of a passion, almost an obsession with me while I was through these various healing stages. So the photography thing was bringing out this creativity side of me too, of, you know, how do I keep my spirits high when I've got an IV drip trying to knock the staph infection out of my blood? I thought, I'll get my camera while I'm infusing and take some pictures of a tree, of a snail, of anything, just to kind of try to express something creatively and get the spirit moving in the right direction. So in that process over the last several years now, it's really since late 2011, it's been full on, how can I express creativity both in my work life, in creating new businesses, in creating new courses, in creating new ways to reach the world, as well as just purely in my personal life for pure enjoyment of my own spirit, my own soul, my own authentic self, if you will. So these five catalysts, as I've come to call them, are just things that I've found I was doing. It wasn't like I set about to create the perfect model of creativity. It was more like, here's what's worked for me. And so this is what I want to share with you in depth in the masterclass, and I want to touch on it right now through a quick little exercise, actually. The first of the five catalysts is, of course, a very familiar phrase to most of us now called mindfulness. And whether you think of mindfulness as a form of meditation or simply a way to become more aware, to be more mindful, be more aware of our surroundings, more aware of what's happening inside of us, more aware of the world, more aware of our partner, more aware of our children, our colleagues, more aware of how we're affected by what's happening in our immediate environment or the bigger global environment. All of that is part of mindfulness. And what became really clear to me in my journey was that I had to become mindful of those quiet whispers saying, you need to be more creative. When you're creative, you're better. I needed to hear that. For those of you who couldn't hear the whisper, it was the inner voice saying, you need to be more creative. You need to be more in touch with that spirit on a regular basis. So my mindfulness is what kind of awakened me to that realization. So what I wanted to do right now, I think some of us on the East Coast are kind of coming close to the end of our day. Those of you on the West Coast, which was my home for 40 years nearly, you may be in the middle of your day, but wherever you are in your day, let's use this as an opportunity to just take a couple of minutes to kind of go within. And I'm going to put on a little bit of music, which is from a CD that I recorded with my creative partner, Gary Malkin, brilliant composer, awesome human being. And we created a series of meditations called Sonic Sanctuaries, which if you decide to go forward and be part of this masterclass, you'd receive these guided meditations fully. But what I wanted to do now in a very abbreviated form is to just do about 2-minute little guided meditation in the spirit of mindfulness, using the music from the meditation as the soundtrack right now. So I will guide this live. And if you're in a place at home or in an office where you're private and you can close your eyes right now, please do. Please allow yourself to, you know, shut out any of the external distractions and just enjoy for the next couple of minutes this little exercise in mindfulness. So I'm going to turn on a soundtrack now, and this is the soundtrack to the first meditation called The Power of Willingness. So by even being on this Zoom webinar today, a part of you has stepped forward and said, I'm willing to learn more. I'm willing to explore something I may not know that much about yet. What's this finding your creative brilliance all about? So you've already made a statement of your own willingness, your curiosity, your interest, your intrigue. And that spirit is essential to developing creativity, in my opinion. And so what I ask you all to do right now is simply to go inside your body and notice, become mindful of what's happening in your body. Are you nearing the end of a long day and there's tiredness in the body and there's fatigue and maybe it's very cold where you are, so there's some stress simply from the cold? Or maybe you're in the middle of your day and you're kind of still at a high speed pace, and so you're realizing, he's letting us meditate. Thank him. So wherever you're at today, just use this next minute or so to take some breaths. Take a deep breath in right now. Breathe in. And breathe out and let it go all the way out. Now I ask you to focus around your heart and imagine you could breathe in through your heart and inhale. And now exhale as though you could breathe out through your heart. And breathe in again deeply through your heart. And exhale. And now just take a quick scan, starting with the top of your head. Perhaps there's tension in your head. And if you feel any tension anywhere in your head or your neck, as you exhale, just let it go. And breathe in again and notice your shoulders and your upper back. If there's any tension there, just breathe out and let it go. And now your chest and the middle part of your back, and breathe in. And as you breathe out, let go of any tension. Now your lower back, hips and pelvis area, breathe in. And just let go of any tension or strain. Now the upper legs, your thighs, your hamstring muscles, the big muscles in the lower part of your body. And breathe in. And as you exhale, let go of any tension. And now your lower legs, your knees, your calves, your shins. It's part of you that help you move around the world. Breathe in. And as you exhale, let go of the tension. And lastly, your ankles and your feet and your toes. And breathe in to energize those parts of your body. And as you exhale, let go of the tension.
All the athletes have all the skills to actually make the record happen. But in the first couple of days of attempts,
I'm hearing someone's.
There was a little bit of.
I'm quite sure what I'm hearing, but I'm hearing somebody's audio. Can other people hear that as well? Type me a message or Peter.
I was seeing this kind of field. We were in sync. So we are going to the event.
Okay, let me see what's, pardon me, folks, and maybe on my computer. Let me.
And then all people look to me, what's going on? Come on. And everybody.
Let me see if perhaps it's happening on my computer inadvertently.
And then I use one technique that we learned here with
Cornelius. I'm not sure who's. Okay, that may have been me. Big apologies, everyone. At least we had a little entertainment there. So that experience of mindfulness will be at the heart of every one of the four sessions. To take some time quietly on our own, as well as in the group session, in order to go deeper, in order to experience more of what life is bringing us. And the second catalyst is what I call movement. And one of the things that I have observed a number of times in my professional life, let alone in my personal life, is that when I am not moving, when I am either too stuck at my desk working and finding that creative block situation, which many of us have experienced many times, sometimes the answer is not to think harder or try harder or try to come up with more logical solutions, but simply to get up and move. Sometimes you just need to move and walk around outside and breathe a few times, get some fresh air in those lungs and feed that brain with the right kind of fuel, or do a dance, turn on some music that you love to dance to and just get the energy moving. that creativity is about the movement of energy, the free flow of energy. And so we will be moving in this class, whether we're virtual or not, whether we're on video or online or not, we will be moving. So part of the fun we're going to have is we're going to go from a mindfulness exercise right into a little dance wherever you are, whether you're in your office, your home, your den, your bedroom, wherever you may be. We'll be doing a little bit of dance because in my view, in my experience, moving is often the catalyst that is going to trigger that next creative breakthrough. That next, sometimes relationships are just at loggerheads. And if you say to yourself, you know what, let's go take a walk. Let's go take a walk where it's beautiful outside. And there's something about that sometimes, that the action of moving that does it, and especially if you're in a place where there's beauty that you love as well, which takes us to the third catalyst, which nature. Now, I used to live there. As of 10 days ago, I lived where the view from my balcony was that you're seeing right now. That was the sunset, the sunrise that I saw not that long ago, and often it was amazing sunrises. I'm now in a beautiful area where the sunset the other day was spectacular. My point about nature and part of what we'll explore in the masterclass is that even if we live with proximity to beautiful nature, it's easy to take it for granted. It's easy to see it as kind of a lovely photo or a lovely scene and not recognize that there is life-giving creation going on every second. Those trees are alive every second. Those insects are flying around every second. Those buds are starting to form in the plant and the flower. There is creative energy just surging through nature all the time. And of course, nature does, it has its way with us a lot of times too, doesn't it? So you, recognizing nature as a catalyst for creativity. Many of us have our place that we go to. We take the walk in the woods to clear our minds so we can come up with a creative breakthrough or the creative solution to the dilemma that we may find ourselves in. So we already kind of intuitively know nature is a great catalyst for unblocking the creativity. I'm saying make it even more conscious. So that's part of what we'll explore, not only in the four classes that we'll have online, but in between. And how can we use nature to re-energize us, creatively speaking? And the fourth area, which was very important to me, and have a good look at these photos. The one on the right, when I saw this a couple of years ago on Facebook, I thought, okay, best Facebook photo yet. You know, Mona Lisa making a smiley, a kissy face to the selfie. But the spirit of playfulness is what, to me, is also absolutely essential to creativity. And back to the childlike nature. You know, we all were naturally playful as kids. We couldn't help it. That's how we interacted with life, was to play with this and play with this and play with this. And what is this? And there was a sense of wonder, a sense of awe of, wow, look at this. This is cool. And some of us never lost that. And some of us had it beaten out of us. And some of us had it suppressed or whatever. And some of us, it took some dark nights of the soul to awaken the recognition that, if I don't get playful with all this, this could feel really, really discouraging. So playfulness for me was hugely important in my own recovery from what went on in my body to not only get healthy again, but have the spirit of fun and life back in my life again. So that's the fourth catalyst. And the fifth one is artistic expression. And whether or not we ever want to be a writer, a poet, a dancer, a singer, or any of those what we would call creative artistic endeavors, it's also well understood that the act of trying to do any of those things can open up parts of our brain that we can apply to doing accounting, to doing project planning, to doing team meetings, whatever our work may require. So what I want to ask you a question right now is, what's your favorite form of artistic expression? And it's not that you have to be good at it yet, but like the times when you try to paint, or you try to do watercolors, or you try to do sculpture, or you try to write poetry, or free verse, or limericks, or haiku, or whatever, what has been your favorite form of artistic expression? And put it in the chat box. I'd just love to see some examples of everybody. For me, gardening is at the very high part of my list. But when I started living in an apartment a few years ago, one of the hardest adjustments was that I didn't have land that I could weed and plant things in, and because I love that form of creative expression. So I see one response already, illustration, mixed media, awesome. Wow, so somebody here is a published author and award-winning classical musician. Okay, we have a Renaissance human in the crowd. Excellent. Seeking to expand your own artistic avenues. Awesome, Norma Jean. Dorian saying drawing, gardening, dancing. Fantastic. So keep typing them in there. I'd love to hear other people's examples of what makes your heart sing from a creative standpoint. And if you don't have one yet, that's okay. But that is what this course will be about, is exploring and trying new things that may be way out of our comfort zone. And cooking and food presentation has been it, but now I wanted to go back to making things with your hands. Awesome. Working with indigenous artists and helping them succeed. Human communication. Excellent. Excellent answer. Thank you for not just using the typical creative expressions. Human communication is highly creative. Wonderful response, Louise. Thank you. Floral arranging from Christine. Thank you, Christine. Taking photos and playing with them. Us who get on Instagram or just use filters in your smartphone is quite an artistic undertaking in the moment. It's quite amazing now. Listening to music and moving to it, being in nature. Fantastic. So yeah, this is what this course is going to be about. It's why I wanted to do it as a masterclass, interactively with video, is so we can see each other and hear from each other and see each other's examples, share screens, and have it be in a live process, not just hearing from me because I've had a certain set of experiences. Yeah, I have, but hearing from everyone and learning from each other. So thank you for those inputs. So those are the five catalysts. And part of what I love about this, and those of you who know heart math and love the science of creativity or love to look at, you know, understand, like I've been into yoga for years, but I was always intrigued, well, what's the science behind why the asanas are so good, or why regulating your breathing, why is that so helpful for the nervous system? I've always wanted to know. I guess my left brain was really needing the logic, even though the right brain was saying, I don't kind of care, it's really fun regardless. But that left brain said, but it's fun knowing why it works. So I'm going to be sharing in the masterclass some of what I've learned and what many others have learned about the science of creativity. And the sacred geometry that you could see on that last slide, for example. And you know, nowadays, the research on the impact of music on our brain is profound. And not just any music, certain kinds of music have more effect than others. But one of the things that's also quite clear is when we are listening to music that we love, it can have very profound impact on the effectiveness and the optimization of our brain. There's a wonderful film, I suspect some of you may have seen, a short film of this gentleman, a very old man, who has been in an assisted living facility, basically unreachable, pretty much in a decline of dementia, just there was really no way to communicate. And they started playing music from his youth. And as he started to hear this music, he was singing the song again. And he'd not been able to communicate in any way for years. And hearing that song, something came alive in him. And part of his brain awoke that had not been awakened for a very long time. So part of what I want to explore with all of you is not only to share research about why music is so valuable, but to encourage us to start using music for its very beneficial effect on us. I think probably everybody, and let's do another little quick thing in the chat. Everybody that has this, put in a song, just the name of a song that you listen to because you love how it makes you feel. Whatever that song is that loves how you make it, that you love how it makes you feel, is why we want to be creative. Because it's that feeling of, oh God, this feels so good. This is so fun. That's what the feeling that you want. And for a lot of us, music is the way to get there. Crockett's theme, are you talking about from Miami Vice? I don't know what Crockett's theme is. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Oh man. Yeah, music expresses what words cannot. Absolutely. Music. I've often said we could have people who are complete enemies who love the same song. A friend of mine recently did a concert of Arab musicians and Israeli musicians from various Arab countries and Israel, and they found there was a common folk song in the different languages they hadn't even known. They all knew from these different cultures who were at war, and yet they all knew the same folk song. And there was the Hebrew version and the Arabic version. It was the same song. And Leonard Cohen's Alleluia, oh wow, what a powerful song that is on the beach. Yeah, so we all have songs, and So part of this course is to bring more intentionality to how we use music, not just for the brain itself, although who wouldn't want to have our brain more effective and you know, age less and be younger, but also for it, the effect that it can have on unleashing the creativity inside us, unblocking whatever may be blocking us. So no question that music is a big part of this course. And the next point I wanted to make is that, you know, it's been fascinating because I've been around science a lot in the 25 plus years that I've been involved with HeartMath. And before that, I was involved with a nutritional company and doing a lot of work around biotech. And the explosion of understanding of just what an incredible organ is our brain in the last 25 or 30 years, that new understanding has been stunning. And most of you, I'm sure by now, know this term neuroplasticity. But it's not that long ago that even the idea that our brains were plastic, that our brains effectively continued to adapt, that was completely stunning and completely contrary to all the beliefs for hundreds, if not thousands of years prior. The belief being that our brain kind of peaks out in our early 30s and then there's a gradual decline, and even perhaps younger than that, gradual decline, and you kind of can't stop it. You lose brain cells and you lose flexibility. You can try doing new things, but you're not going to be able to ever have the brain you once had because there's just this decline. Well, sure, that happens for a lot of people because we didn't know that what really goes on. But in fact, our brain is able to constantly adapt and constantly regenerate itself and is constantly creating new brain cells as we age. New circuitry can be developed old, not only when we're young. And so that understanding, it turns out, is facilitated by doing things that we love that are creative. When we are writing a poet and building a new circuit to try to do that, when we're singing a song we never sang before, when we're trying to dance and learn some steps and you never did that, those are new circuits that are being built in our brain, allowing our body to do those things because our brain is adaptable, what they call neuroplastic. So that fact alone is kind of cool and exciting and is part of what we'll be exploring in the masterclass as well. And kudos to HeartMath, because I think HeartMath came along in the early 90s and we said we're going to look deeply into why stress is killing so many people, whether it's killing them physically yet or not, killing their spirit in many cases. And one of the things that became very clear from our research in the early 90s was that any things that are really stressful emotions for us tend to block creativity. You know, you're stuck in the anxiety, you're stuck in the worry, the fear, the insecurity. It's hard to have the creative ideas, to have even hope you could be creative. We also know stressful emotions damage our health and accelerate the aging process. So now, it's also true that sometimes it's when you kind of get to the last straw that you finally have the creative breakthrough. So it's not that we're saying don't ever experience a stressful emotion, but rather the more we can be doing creative effort, processes, projects, whatever, the more our body is enjoying it. Our body is saying, yeah, this feels good. Our heart's feeling that way. Our mind's feeling that way. So the stress is dissipating considerably because we're in that flow. And sure enough, HeartMath research and others came along and said, yep, when we're feeling positive emotionally, when we're loving working in that team to solve that customer challenge, when we're loving, you know, enjoying the process, even though it's difficult, of working out how to be in relationship with that person or with that team or with that customer or with that family member, whoever, that process of working it through can be highly rejuvenating. And right down to the biochemical level, the kinds of hormones that we're producing are the very things that facilitate creativity and also slow down the aging process. So it's no accident that we hear about these artists picking up the paintbrush in their 70s or 80s. I mean, when I was a kid, Grandma Moses, I think was her name, and she like started painting at 90 or something. And, you know, these examples where the creative energy doesn't have to die, and in fact is the very thing that can not only keep us alive, but help us be younger again and in a flow that is really enjoyable and fun. So all these are aspects of what we're going to be exploring. And part of the core, especially of the first session, that we're going to do a virtual retreat in about 10 or 11 days to kick it off, a couple of hours, 2.5 hours online like this. And I'm going to go through several exercises to unlock creativity. And I wanted to kind of, I'm not going to share what those are yet, that's the course. But I thought, well, this would be fun to kind of see Take a guess. What do you think would be one of the keys to unlocking creativity? So in the chat, type in anything you think would be a key to unlocking creativity. And so when you think about it in yourself, what do you think, what usually blocks creativity? And moving past fear and the approval of others, Norma Jean gets the prize. Yep, that's pretty much it. That's the first one for sure. And there's a process that we're going to go through to identify kind of the voice of fear, giving yourself permission. Wow, that's the second one in the model that I've developed. So you guys are onto it. I'm a big fan of Elizabeth Gilbert, not only because of Eat, Pray, Love, the very famous book that she wrote in the movie and all that, but especially Big Magic, which she wrote about 2-3 years ago now. And I got to meet her. I got to attend a day-long workshop with her. And it was a fantastic experience to unlock creativity. And so some of what her work has influenced me a lot over these last few years, and we'll share some of that in this course too, of kind of Elizabeth Gilbert's take on how to unlock creativity. So that's part of the course and a big part of it. And yeah, Norma Jean, it was a fabulous book. So that's a big piece of unlocking the energy. So I've got about 10 or 15 minutes left, and I want to share a quick little video with you. I have been, for the last 10 months, no, not even that many, 8 months, involved in one of the most unique, for me, creative projects of my life. Back last March, so you knew I was a singer, I was on Broadway, I was a dancer, actor in my youth. Kind of set it aside for many years, involving nutrition and heart math for 25 plus years. But then the creative spark awakened, as I told you a few years ago, and started singing and blah, blah, blah. And I got to know these two guys named the brothers Corin, Isaac and Toral Corin. And they're amazing guys. They're in their 30s. They're rock stars, as in literal rock stars, as in they've performed with Coldplay. They've toured with Pink. These guys are amazing singers, songwriters, being brave. Yeah, you know them. That's part of the brothers Corin as well. And we're friends. And they approached me about doing an album of original songs. And I said, well, that's a great idea, except that I've never actually wanted to write a song in my life. Never aspired to it. So sure, let's do this. And it was a very large price tag. But I thought, you know what? I'm all about creativity. I'm all about reinventing oneself when that's important to do. So why wouldn't I take this on as a challenge? Who cares that I never wanted to write a song and feel like I probably have zero talent in it? Who cares? Why not give it a shot? Who knows what I might discover in the process? So thanks to these two exceptionally talented, exceptionally intelligent, creative men, we began a process in May of creating an album of songs. Part of what you will get in this course is not only the album of songs, which is now completed, called Renaissance Human. It's not released yet, but you'll get a pre-release version of it. But you'll learn a little bit about what it's been like to collaborate with two highly exceptional musicians, singer-songwriters, in the process of creating my own music. And so you'll be kind of, I'll share stories. And what I wanted to do just real briefly now is show you a short video, it's less than a minute, of one of the songs they had begun to work on in my behalf. And I'll explain in the class more about the whole process, which is quite fascinating in itself. But what this is a little clip when they presented a musical idea to me. They had studied me for months. They had studied my writing. They had studied through interviews. They had asked me questions you wouldn't believe, extremely intimate details of my life, wanting to understand what I loved about life, what I loved about music, what I loved when I was a kid, what I love now, what are the artists that I wish I could sing like or love their music. And they dove very deeply into my life and came up through that process with several ideas for songs they presented to me. And I sat there hearing these 9 different song ideas they had come up with, believing they were just kind of channeling me, if you will. And I choked up several times as I heard what they had created. And I thought, wow, this is so me. How do they do this? How do they write the beginning of a song that feels like I've written this? And so I'm going to share with you a bit of one of the songs, which is on the album. So you get a little flavor of what the beginning of this creative process was like for me.
Yeah. Only way through. There's one. I'm on that day,
The only way I knew I was with you, I was with you. The only way I knew I was with you.
So that was a little taste. I'll play the song on the way out at the very end of the webinar today, what that evolved into. And I'm sharing that because part of the creative journey in my mind and in my heart is about collaboration. It's not only a solo effort. A lot of times it needs to be solo. It needs to be something we're really going deep in ourselves to explore what it is we do want to express, however we're wanting to express it, through a garden, through a song, through a dance, through a painting, whatever it may be. But also there's that fun of working in a close cohesion with other people who are also creative, and what can unfold from that. For me, my life completely changed in working on this album. It brought me back into a flow of music that I hadn't experienced really in decades. It brought me back to strongly being pulled back to New York. There's a bunch of reasons, including love, that brought me back here, which was a very important part of this. And the music, the development of my own music, which I never even thought I wanted to do. I call it, it's a dream come true that I never knew I had. I don't know if people can relate to that, of coming upon things in your life which bring you enormous fulfillment, even though you never thought that was a dream of yours. I never wanted to be a songwriter, and yet the process of writing 5 songs with these guys has been just so fulfilling and so enriching and awakened parts of me I did not know existed. So that's what I want to have happen for each one of us in whatever ways it's supposed to happen. So let me continue. And oops, going the wrong direction here. So here we go. So the format. So here's what I've got in mind. So this Creativity Masterclass, Finding Your Creative Brilliance Masterclass. As I said earlier, we're going to do all the classes on Zoom. So we have a chance to see, to not just hear, but to see and hear, to share. One of the reasons I love Zoom is that in each of the sessions, we'll have a chance to break up into smaller groups. So instead of just the whole group, like today, it's mostly listening to me, you're responding to me, but we didn't have the time and we got a lot of people, so it's not as easy to just interact one-to-one or small groups, but we will do that in each of these sessions. So we'll have a chance to break into smaller groups, work on stuff on our own, and Zoom will facilitate that. So basically, we're going to kick it off on Saturday, January 27th. It's a 2.5-hour session, noon to 2:30 Pacific, 3 to 5:30 Eastern. And that'll be a virtual retreat. We're going to dig into some of the science behind this. We're going to dig into all the 5 catalysts. There'll be meditation. There'll be movement. You'll be doing some creative stuff. That'll be the kind of launch pad for the whole thing. I'll send you off with some homework because we won't meet again for about 12 days. And then Thursday the 8th, we'll have a 1-hour session, part of which will be to share what we've been working on in between. And part of it will be to go into some new stuff and to be able to talk in small groups and share in a more intimate way with one another in a small way as well. And that process will continue the following Thursday, same time, and the following Thursday, February 22nd, for the 4th and final class. And so there'll be this process where we continue to explore these modalities, these 5 catalysts. You'll be picking particular types of creative expression that you want to work in. Some of you already said you want to do more than one. You're drawn to more than one. That's great. You don't have to isolate it to a single one. We will be using photography because part of what I'm really interested in exploring is the fact that nearly all of us now have cameras in our pocket called our smartphone. And some of us do selfies. Some of us take photos occasionally. But there is a way that we have an artistic tool at our fingertips all the time. We could be using that in even more creative ways. So that's going to be part of it, is doing some little photography examples and exercises. How to take a photo where all 5 of the catalysts, mindfulness, movement, nature, playfulness, artistic expression, all 5 are represented in a single photo. we'll be having ideas like that. And there'll also be, so these creative projects in between, so basically homework in between, stuff for you to do, to practice in and be exploring and developing in between. If you have someone else in the class who is a buddy of yours, where you want to encourage somebody to come in who's a close friend of yours, by all means, this would be a great opportunity to share with someone that's close to you, a spouse, a partner, a close friend, a colleague, etc. So I encourage that, but it's not required. You'll find buddies in the course for sure. And lastly, I will be creating a private Facebook group. It's not, for those of you who are not on Facebook and never want to ever be on Facebook, it's not going to make it or break it if you don't. So that's totally fine. But for those of us who are on Facebook for a variety of reasons, it'll be a place to share some of that. But the main point of the course are these four sessions that will be opportunities to share and learn and explore and deliver, dive deep into it. So I see, yeah, we're just about up on time. So I see a couple of people sending me some notes, letting me know they got to buzz off. But thank you all for joining. Got a couple more minutes to share with you. So that's the format. And as far as the cost, we'll get to that in the next slide. Here's some of the materials that you'll be getting, digital materials you'll be getting. As I mentioned earlier, Sonic Sanctuaries is the name of two guided meditations that I've created with my creative partner, Gary Malkin. You'll be getting digital versions of those. Renaissance Human is the name of the album. You heard a little bit of one of the songs. You'll be getting a digital version of that even before it's released in the spring of this year. You'll be getting an inspirational slideshow of these awesome images that myself and my web guy, Brad Wallace, created with some beautiful, powerful quotes. You'll be getting a video of just a little mini documentary of the What Makes Your Heart Sing project. A variety of articles and blogs, either that I've written or others have written. And so that's what will be part of some written material, just to kind of keep your education going, keep your mind expanding of what could this even lead into? We never know, really, until we try. And you'll get a certificate of completion after the course. It's not a certification per se, but a certificate saying you've been through this. Hopefully it's been valuable to you. So a whole set of digital materials and, of course, a lot of references and resources I'll be recommending, like the Big Magic Book and many other things. I'm a personal fan of a guy named Jason Silva, who is a kind of a wild millennial, brilliant guy who's got fantastic views on creativity. I'll be showing some of his films during the virtual retreat especially. So that's a little bit about the format, the digital materials you'll be getting, and of course the question for many people, what's it going to cost? And I'm saying very appealing introductory price of $295. So yes, that's for everything. So the four sessions, the homework in between, the Facebook group, and of course all the digital materials is what you get for $295. So that link is how you can purchase the course. So we're doing it through Eventbrite. So the link that's on the page right now. And Peter, if you could add that to the chat right now, that would be awesome. So everybody has it and can copy it down and go right there if you want to do it now. We'll send out an email to folks later on as well. But that's the link. And so what we'd like you to do is copy that link from the chat. You're welcome to read more about it on the Eventbrite page. As I say, we'll send it to everybody as well. And we'd love you to share with others who you think would enjoy the masterclass. So Peter, have you got the link to add into the chat? That would be awesome if you can. And so what I want to do now, I know we're right about the 5 o'clock mark here on the East Coast. I am going to stop sharing my screen in a second. Let me see if I can. It's not allowing me to copy. There it is. Great. So Peter added the link to the chat. And just last thing, I forgot to mention this. When I was starting my own kind of second journey of creativity 7 or 8 years ago, I wanted some one-on-one help. I went back and hired a voice coach, and I went back and hired a personal trainer, because when I was recovering from hip surgery, I thought I need somebody to work with me one-on-one. A class wasn't quite going to do it. And some of us on the call right now may be saying, well, class sounds awesome because you can learn so much from each other and it is dynamic. But it would also be great to have a one-on-one version of this. So I've got two ways that's possible. The first version is basically we would go through the exact same format as what I've just laid out, the four sessions, but it would just be you and me. And that's got a price of $1,095. And then a more sophisticated, a more extensive version, I guess you could say, version two, is where it would last for several months. And I've done a lot of personal coaching, leadership coaching, strategic consulting and mentoring, where I'll have 6 month, 12 months engagements. So in this case, version two, you and I would talk together about what are you looking for. Perhaps your need is more than just wanting to be a writer or wanting to paint. It's more like, how do I get some creative ideas about my business? I've got 35 plus years of business experience, startup experience, entrepreneurial experience, creative experience, et cetera. So I'd love to work with anybody that's oriented to that. That's more of a private conversation to figure out what would work for you. So I've got my email address here, brucecryer@gmail.com. Let me know if either of these two options are work for you, and in which case just email me. We'll go back and forth on what would make sense. So thank you all so much. And I will, those of you who can stay on, love to take any questions right now. I will stop sharing my screen, and you've got my email address, and I'll put that in the link as well, in the chat rather, so you have that, those of you who want to be in touch for any reason. Okay, so let me stop the sharing of the screen, and now we're all just here. And for those of you still here, anybody want to ask any questions? I would love to hear from anybody. You would need to unmute if anybody does want to ask a question. Thanks for your comment, Luis. I see you. Thanks very much, sir. Norma Jean, thank you for all of your comments too, and Lori. Well, why don't we just go ahead and say goodbye, and we'll get back to everybody with the links. And thank you all so much for your time. Love it. Take care. Ciao. Arrivederci.